Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Brooks Koepka ran out of gas while driving his Rolls, Tony. Have you ever run out of gas?
I'm Tony Kornheiser. No, because whenever I'm running low, I just siphon a gallon out of the neighbor's SUV. But that's not the point here.
Oh, okay.
The point is, what is Brooks Koepka doing with a Rolls Royce?
Why wouldn't he have one?
Isn't that...
Why wouldn't he?
What? Do you have one?
Do you think I make the same money as Brooks Koepka? Huh? What planet are you on?
No, but you make enough money for a Rolls Royce.
No, I don't.
If you want one.
No, I don't.
I'm just surprised at you.
Brooks Koepka can drive a Rolls.
I've been in a Rolls Royce in my life with Reggie Jackson.
Oh!
He owned one, and we drove across Alligator Alley in Florida 100 years ago. Reggie Jackson, he owned one. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, Kyrie Irving puts on his shoes, Steph Curry heads to the Garden, and Spencer Rattler finds a new home. But we begin today with the Los Angeles Rams going to Arizona and beating the Cardinals 30-23, knocking the Cardinals from the one seed in the NFC down to the three seed. This game avenges one earlier in the year when the Cardinals beat the Rams in Los Angeles. Green Bay is now the number one seed. Tampa Bay is the two. Wilbon, you were right. You said the Rams would win this game. Kyler Murray says he is not discouraged by what happened in the game. Should he be?
No, Tone, I don't think he needs to be discouraged. I mean, they didn't play badly. As a matter of fact, they did some things pretty well. If you take away that unbelievable play that Aaron Donald makes to get a pinky or a couple of fingers on a tipped pass that turns into an interception, you know, and turns the game. I mean, it's an even game. It's an even game the way it played out, except for the score. And they could thank Aaron Donald for his three sacks and that tip. So, no, there's nothing to be embarrassed about or ashamed about or even discouraged about, Tony. I will say this. You know, Arizona did some dopey management things with the clock and some weird plays late in the game that might have allowed them to still tie it and take it to overtime. They executed a lot of things properly. So discouraged? No.
Yeah, so I don't like to dwell on one play. I'm not a guy who says that game turned on a single play, particularly not one in the first quarter, you know, because you don't think that could ever be decisive. But the Cardinals were up 3-0, and they were driving the length of the field for what looked like a touchdown. And I felt if they went up 10-0 at home, they were going to win that game. And Kyler Murray threw an interception. I think it was picked off right around the 2. And to me, that was enormously impactful for the rest of the game.
Because the Rams came down. I think the Rams about it was tipped. Aaron
Donald
tipped.
I think the Rams got, I think OBJ got a touchdown later on that drive or maybe the next drive, whatever it was. That was enormously impactful in that particular game. The Cardinals have a couple of statistics that amaze me. And it's maybe why they don't care about being the number one seed if they don't, because they don't care about being at home. They're 7-0 on the road. They're 4-3 at home. They got 11 turnovers at home and only 2 on the road. Now, the problem, of course, is that at some point you may have to go to a cold weather city. They haven't had to do it all year. Their next two home games, next two road games, rather, Detroit and Dallas are indoors. If they end up in Green Bay, they're in trouble, it seems to me. But maybe being on the road won't matter to them.
Well, it doesn't seem like it. I think they're 3-3 at home, I think. Right? And they've won. They're 7-0 on the road. That gives them 10.
Oh, I think they're 10-3. Okay.
But the point is the point. And you're right. And so what is it? Tony, there's something about that team that just seems lacking to me. You know, I thought that all year long. I root for them. I want to see them win.
Right.
You know, I do. There's something not, you know, so-so about them. And it looks like concentration at certain points. When they get down to the goal line, when they have these turnovers at home, it just seems they get a little lax to me.
You know where I was on the Rams.
Yeah.
As soon as the trade was made for Stafford, I said they'd be in the Super Bowl.
You're
Stafford
in good shape.
Would be the MVP.
You're still in good shape.
Needed this game last night to beat a good team. And they've got OBJ, and he's got 3 touchdowns in the last 3 games, which is a lot. And they've got maybe Sony Michel is their
Tony,
runner.
Now he's got
Cooper
COVID.
Kupp.
I mean, he's in the COVID protocol.
Well, but that's this
OBJ.
Week. That's not in the playoffs.
Right, that's
not in the playoffs.
That's right. That's
Cooper
right.
Kupp is going for the Triple Crown.
Yeah.
Lead the league in yards.
He's great.
In catches. And touchdowns.
They're going to get hit.
But the problem, you know, what's scary in the long term?
What?
What's scary in the long term is that Matthew Stafford is 0-3 in the playoffs with 4 touchdowns and 3 picks in the playoffs. He's been great the last 3 games, but I don't know.
He's got a better team.
I don't know.
Better team, better people around him. He's got 2 great receivers.
That's true.
They were going to win that game last night. Your team is still in good position. Don't start to, you know, wobble now. We have a Kyrie Irving update, maybe. The Nets star point guard posted a video of himself putting on basketball shoes this morning. You can see him lacing them up. Those are the Kyrie 8s, I'm told. This comes on the heels of a report in The Athletic citing renewed optimism of Irving returning to the team this season. He's been sidelined, of course, after refusing to be vaccinated. Tone, what would Irving's return mean for the Nets?
So I'm going to leave the whole shoe issue to you, and I'm going to deal with this question very specifically. On paper, if he came back, they'd be the best team in the NBA, in my opinion, on paper. If his teammates trust him, then it'll work out. If his teammates don't trust him, then it becomes a little uneasy.
Yeah.
I know I would not trust him. I would not. Presumably, it would mean that he would be totally vaccinated because the Nets have said publicly, we're not going to let him just practice and just play road games. He's got to be all in. And with the vaccine mandate in the city of New York, he'd have to be completely vaccinated. Mike, beyond this, I don't really know what to say. I personally think he's a bad teammate and an unreliable teammate. I know he's a great talent. What happens the first day he says, oh, I want a personal day? What do his teammates think about that?
Yeah.
You can spend your life waiting for this guy. It's like waiting for Godot.
Okay. And so check, please, on that part of this discussion, because you know I don't disagree with a word you've said. The news here is Kyrie, to tens of millions of people who are a lot younger than you and me and who pay attention to this stuff. The news is the shot, the video of him lacing up what appear to be Kyrie 8s. You know I wouldn't know this. I was just given an updated Christmas list with on a PDF from my 13-year-old who wears Kyrie's. It's his dad. You're missing the point. These are the Kyrie 8s. That's why I didn't ask you for the Kyrie 7s on the previous list. And it's not just my house. J.J. Redick just gave voice to this. He and Richard Jefferson. You have to promote shoes, Tony. Kyrie can't promote shoes when he's at home because he's not vaccinated and can't play. So, do we think this is a hint, I'm ready to come back? Or do we think this is promotion of my new shoe the week before Christmas? Which one seems more like Kyrie to you? Because the news is not that he's not vaccinated yet. The news is the video of the shoes being tied. What does it
mean? Just let me ask you one question.
Yeah.
Give me a brief answer. What is the constituency exactly for his shoes when he's not even playing and you know, he's not a reliable teammate?
Really?
I'm asking.
Because I can show you my Amex bill and I can tell you where the constituency is and every kid in the back of my SUV every weekend over the last 4 years. Huh? What?
All right. Look. Man. On the larger question, would he help the team?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Okay,
he's a great player.
Like, we're going to debate that?
Sure.
Anybody going to say no to that? No. Nobody.
Let's move on.
No to that.
Let's move on to someone who's actually on the court tonight.
Oh, good.
Steph Curry. Now, 1 3-pointer away from tying Ray Allen for the all-time 3-point record. 2 3-pointers away from setting the record himself. Curry figures to do that tonight in Madison Square Garden against the Knicks. Wilbon, how should Curry feel about setting the record in the Garden?
Well, Tony, I know how he would feel about that, even though we talked before, just about places that players love to play. And it's no secret. The number one place where players love to play now, and it's been this way for, I don't know, 30 years, it seems, is Madison Square Garden, the world's most famous arena. And it's going to be great. Steph Curry, like LeBron, you know, when you get older and you've been that important to this game in this generation, those guys are historians. They know every place and what it means and who did what there. They love it. So Steph Curry's going to love this. But, Tony, he should be relieved because this thing has gone on for a couple of games now, and he's not shot well. Yeah. He shot terribly, and it's no big deal because Steph Curry's the greatest shooter ever, no matter when he breaks this record and no matter where he breaks the record. The rest of his team, I would presume, would say, good, now let's get on to the mission of winning a championship this season.
Yeah, I'm going to get nostalgic for a few seconds
Good.
Here because I'm a native New Yorker and because I grew up going to Madison Square Garden. And then when I was a sports writer at the New York Times and Newsday, I went to hundreds of events there, basketball events, college and pro. I think it's the greatest basketball palace that there's ever been. I was there when Willis Reed limped out in the finals. I was there when Reggie Miller scored 8 points in what seemed to be a second and a half. You know, I was there when John Thompson opened his jacket to reveal the sweater, the same as Rui Carnesecca.
Yeah.
Right? So I saw Will Chamberlain play there. I saw Bill Russell play there. I saw Pete Maravich play there as a collegiate. I saw that.
How many did he
so
get?
So it's a very...
How many did Maravich get
he
that
got
night?
Like, he played against Army, and he only got about 19 or 20. He didn't get that many points. Ooh. Bobby Knight coached against him, if I remember correctly. So that's a long time ago. So, I mean, I think if Steph Curry can't break this record on his own home court, you know, that the Garden is the perfect place for him to do it. I know
like
that he's been struggling. I think, I don't know, 12 for 46. It's some bad number recently. But he's going to get it like unless he only gets 40. One tonight. And only six times in the past 2 years has only gotten 1-3. And I don't think everybody's going to be happy. Mike, I agree with you. They're going to move on from this. They'll be a better basketball team when this is behind.
And by the way, Reggie Miller.
He's going to break this record by 1,000.
Reggie Miller with the call.
And that's good.
It is. There's some historic justice in that. That's great.
That's fine. He's going to break it by 1,000. So only the people that were there for this will remember that part of it. He's not retiring. Let's take a break. Coming up, which team is more likely to win the AFC, the Chiefs or the Patriots?
And Tony wants to hand the MVP award to Aaron Rodgers. But doesn't Cowboys game record Micah Parsons deserve just as much love? Reggie at the table.
So you think is about shoes? This
I'm
is
told,
about Kyrie promoting
shoes. I
didn't
think of this on my own. I listened to J.J. Redick, Richard Jefferson Burke, and then my son saying I want the eights for Christmas. What
so
eights?
He's not coming back.
The ones
so he's not coming back.
No.
Pardon the interruption is presented by Truly Hard Seltzer. Live Truly. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Welcome back to Pardon the Interruption, presented by Truly Hard Seltzer, part of Happy Hour.
Time for toss up. Two men enter, one man leaves, finishes the show. Notes that the sun set hours ago, sees the parallel of the nighttime of his own life descending upon him, and decides to spend a few of his remaining hours watching Duke pound a 3-7 South Carolina State team on the ACC network.
Okay,
what's first?
Toss up, more likely to win the AFC, the Patriots or the Chiefs?
All right, they got the same record. Let's see what they got left. The Patriots have at Colts, home Bills, home Jaguars, at Dolphins. That feels like 2-2 at the worst.
At Jaguars
probably 3-1. They got Jacksonville and Miami are under 500. The Chiefs have at Chargers this Thursday, home Steelers, at Bengals, at Broncos. All those teams are in a playoff mix. All those teams are at least 500. I think that's a harder schedule. And I don't think Belichick is going to take his foot off the gas. And Kansas City needs help because they're the three right now. So I will say New England.
Yeah, Tony, I was trying to figure out the way I could package it to say the Chiefs arrogantly and loudly, and I can't. I mean, I might think it's the Chiefs because the Chiefs have turned – the boat has turned the corner. Who said that a few weeks ago? Did Joe Burrow say that the boat has turned something?
Joe Burrow had the ship turn the corner.
To have happened, except now Kansas City's best, I don't know, most accomplished defensive player apparently is in – virus protocol as well. So who knows who's going to be even eligible for these games as we get closer to the beginning of January. I'll say the Patriots now, Tony. The Jacksonville is the only automatic of all those teams that both those teams play. The only opponent who's an automatic is Jacksonville, so I'll go with the Chiefs.
No, you want to go with the Chiefs.
I'm sorry, I'll go with the Patriots.
Go with the Patriots,
my bad.
Thank you, I'm listening.
Yes.
You're in my ear, I get this. Let's go next.
Toss up, who's been more valuable to his team, Aaron Rodgers or Micah Parsons?
Micah Parsons is great. He's a great rookie. He's absolutely great. He's transformed the Dallas defense. The Dallas defense was 28th in points allowed last year. He gets there, they're 12th. His presence on this team has meant more to Dallas than Dak Prescott coming back, if you have to make that choice.
Yep.
But I'm going to say it's Aaron Rodgers who's more valuable to his team. He missed one game because of COVID. How'd that work out? Who do you think won that? Packers didn't win that. Packers got 7 points in that game. He's 10-2 as a starter. It's the best mark of any quarterback in the league so far this year. I want to get this correct. I know he's got the highest rating of any quarterback. He's got 27 touchdowns and 4 interceptions, which is a better ratio even than Tom Brady. He's the juice that makes that team go. Yeah. It's Aaron Rodgers.
Just realize it. I liked you so much better before you start reciting producer-given numbers every day. I don't know when that started, actually, but let me go to something that matters more to me. Aaron Rodgers has the ball every snap. Of course he's more valuable. He's got the ball. And even if his defense stinks like it did against the Bears on Sunday, what night was that? Sunday night, allowing more points than like had ever been scored in that game between those two teams that have played 100 times. It's Aaron Rodgers. Now, Micah Parsons, my God. He's Lawrence Taylor, Tony. And you know what Taylor did? He played in twice as many Super Bowls as Aaron Rodgers. Micah Parsons
you
is a beast.
You hijacked the show yesterday.
Beast.
You hijacked the show to talk about Micah Parsons 5 minutes after we were done with that. And you're a defense guy. You always talk about defense,
but
you're picking Aaron Rodgers.
The game. I'm not going to say Richard Dent, one of the great defenders of all time, was as important as a starting quarterback from a Super Bowl team. Don't be a dope. Stop. This is what numbers do to you.
You've been inhaling too
numbers
many shoes.
Have more.
You stuck your
brain.
Nose in too many Kyrie 8s. That's
done.
It. Let's take one last break. Still to come, Spencer Rattler has found a new school to play for.
And have the reports of Kevin Love's demise been greatly exaggerated. By the way, Matthew, not a shot at getting Kyrie Irving shoes. Kyrie 8s, got no chance. Come up with a new list. Drop a new list on me soon.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Truly Hard Seltzer. Live Truly. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Happy time, people. Happy 100th birthday, Charlie Trippi. Yes, 100. Charlie Trippi is in both the college and pro football halls of fame. He was a halfback, a quarterback, and a defensive back in the days when everyone was a two-way player. Trippi went to the University of Georgia, where he was on the national championship team in 1942. World War II service interrupted his studies, and in 1946, Trippi was the SEC Player of the Year. Finished second to Army's Glenn Davis in the Heisman, then began his professional career with the Chicago Cardinals, who had drafted him number one overall. In 1947, those Cardinals won the NFL championship. Trippi was inducted into Canton in 1968. He's the oldest living Hall of Famer. As a side note, Trippi also played baseball at Georgia, and on the 1946 Bulldogs team, he batted 475. Yes, 475 in his second best sport. And yes, 100.
You'd have to be at least 80 years old to remember seeing Charlie Trippi play if you saw him play. And Tony, you know what's cool is to be able to wish happy birthday 100 years worth to a pro football player, former pro football player. Because so many times on this and every other show, we have to deal with melancholy trails with guys that we watched in some cases passing away in their 40s and 50s and early 60s and way too soon. 100 for Charlie Trippi. How cool is this?
Happy anniversary, Miami Heat. On this day 33 years ago, the expansion NBA franchise won their first ever game. The Heat and coach Ron Rothstein had lost their first 17 games. First win came over the Clippers 89-88. Over the remainder of their schedule, the Heat won 14 games, lost 50, making them 15-67. Heat did not have a winning season until 1993-94 when they finished 42-40. I'll be honest, Mike, I don't remember the Heat ever being this bad. And 33 years ago is not that long that I wouldn't remember. I think of the Heat as Pat Riley and Alonzo Mourning. I think of the Heat as Dwayne Wade and LeBron James. I think of the Heat as an exciting, attractive team, one of the best franchises. And by the way, on the night the Heat won this first game, LeBron James was 4 years old.
Yeah, but you're also young enough still to have been at, and you should remember, sitting there watching Ronnie Cicely play for the Miami Heat when they won a game, if not that season, shortly thereafter, and Cicely came over to you and me, who we got to know because we covered the Big East, and he said,
Syracuse.
I can't believe you guys are here. Thank you for coming. You remember that?
Yeah.
You remember.
I do.
Cicely was so
funny. Happy trails to Oklahoma for Spencer Rattler. Rattler began the season as the favorite to win the Heisman, ended it on the bench at Oklahoma behind Caleb Williams. Rattler's going to South Carolina, along with tight end Austin Stogner, to play for former Oklahoma assistant Shane Beamer. The transfer portal is spewing quarterbacks now. Dylan Gabriel is leaving UCF. He's visited Ole Miss and UCLA. Keaton Slovis leaving USC just as Lincoln Riley arrives. Bo Nix, who started 34 games at Auburn, he's leaving. Max Johnson leaving LSU. Reportedly, Texas A&M is in hot pursuit, maybe because A&M's Zach Calzada is leaving. Adrian Martinez is leaving Nebraska after starting there for 4 years and is eyeing Kansas State. Michael Penix Jr. leaving Indiana and has visited UCF. There's more, but I'm bored with this now.
Well, I hope the preferred quarterback in college in my household, Caleb Williams. Is he staying put? He's at Oklahoma. He can come right back there, not start over, and become the big star he's on the way to becoming already.
One error, I saw Pete Maravich score 20 in a loss to Al McGuire's Marquette team in the 1970 NIT. Maravich sat out the next game, consolation game against Bob Knight's Army team. Quickly to the big finish if we could. Sunday's game between the Lakers and Bulls has been moved from afternoon to night. Okay with you?
You know, it gives people more time to get over all this that they're facing. It's fine with me. Kevin Love had 23 in the second half of the Cavs as they beat the Heat for their fourth straight win. Significant?
Jared Allen said Kevin threw his cane to the side and went out and balled out.
Funny
Deion Sanders won the Eddie Robinson Award as the best coach in the FCS. Does that make sense
when
to you?
When you lead your team to 11-1 overall and 8-0 in the conference, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Canucks 4-0 says hiring Bruce Boudreau. Big deal?
Yeah, I remember him when he coached the Capitals. Everybody called him Gabby. He's one of those great guys who was in the minor leagues, would take bus rides to coach teams. It's a great story. Last one, J.R. Smith earned a 4.0 in his first semester at North Carolina A&T. You're excited for him, right?
Yes, I am. What a great school year period so far for J.R. Smith. Great for him. It's good to hear.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts. And now, here's SportsCenter.
Buy those shoes for Matthew. It's got to be the shoes, money. Got to be the shoes.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.